Okay, well, right. Let's move on.
Problem solved?
Let's not hold him.
Let's not, like, make fun of
Let's not embarrass him
for
because...
the rest of the podcast. So, look,
for a movie he watched yesterday.
Yeah, that I watched in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's Derby.
Well, it's interesting because in the movie Heat, Val Kilmer cuts his hair.
Oh yeah?
No, Val Kilmer's not in Heat.
Yeah, he is.
No?
Yeah,
I don't remember. Yeah, I thought he was.
He's one of the robbers.
But
I didn't know.
And he cuts
not.
His hair. Does he not?
You're gonna argue with the movie expert?
Yeah, no, he
That's
would never
probably a bad
say you're
move.
Dyslexic. You have no business saying anything like that. I'm just gonna like wait.
No, I think you're right. I like that you've really just not been on my side all afternoon, but
sorry.
I get it.
Yeah, I mean,
you have to because you know how my brain works.
Yeah, because
anyway, Lucas and I just watched Heat for the first time yesterday, and I thought, who is the guy then with the short hair? Remember the guy that he's the robber, right? And he goes back to visit his girlfriend, and he can't. He cut his hair.
Sizemore?
You should look it up.
I got
it. Someone be like, we have.
Why
people
are you making me be the Googler?
Need
somebody Google.
I remember
Christy's on
name
it.
In it.
Yeah, Christy's on
see that
Christy's
giant
on
computer,
it.
Lucas? Why don't you use it?
It's been doing better things right now. Yeah, like recording this episode.
Yeah.
So one thing I love about Derby.
I don't know who Tom Sizemore is.
One thing I love about Derby is that there's no score.
Yeah,
and like that makes it so much easier for me to follow. It only lasts 2 minutes long, so I have a short attention span.
Do you go to the track at all?
I went once or twice, but like off season. Like I'm not a big crowd person.
Me either.
Yeah, I like small gigs, small venues.
Do you think that's a... Well, you were in a band, though. What about that?
Yeah, well, I was never like, you know...
You were above
Metallica, you know, or whatever. You know, I didn't play Foo Fighters. You know, I wasn't like stadium guy.
But you probably had some crowded like bars.
50, 60 people, sure.
But is it different on stage then for you? Okay.
Yeah, because then you just go away.
Yeah, you just...
You come out, you do your shtick, and then
it's
you
Val
just...
Kilmer.
It is Val Kilmer. I was right.
In Heat.
And I watched that movie when it came out, so...
With Al Pacino?
Yeah. Al Pacino's in it.
I don't remember him.
Did you watch it?
He's a good actor. So, one thing about Val Kilmer is, he's kind of like Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like,
yeah, he cuts his hair.
He can play different characters.
He cuts his hair in the movie.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
You remembered.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself?
How do you feel?
Yeah. You out-bested by a dyslexic brain.
That should be pretty... Feel pretty bad.
Yeah,
it's about content related. You feel?
Yeah,
bad.
No.
Well then.
Okay.
Well, right. Let's move on.
Problem solved.
Let's not. Yeah, let's not hold
right,
him.
Let's not like I make know, fun.
Let's
of
not
Lucas
embarrass him
for the
because...
rest of the podcast.
So, look,
for a movie he watched yesterday.
Yeah, that I watched in the '80s.
Yeah.
No, it came out in the '90s, 95.
Same thing.
Whatever it is.
No, it's not.
A decade.
Look, but so with the Derby, are you more were you the infill person, or are you just like roam around when you went?
Yeah. When I didn't go for Derby, but when I went to Churchill Downs during a race, I just kind of stayed in the air conditioned area.
Well, now it seems
that's
like
the right way to do it.
I mean, you get all dressed up and you go sweat. I don't understand.
I wore in college. I went.
It's like Burning Man or something. Like, why would you do that?
It is exactly like Burning Man.
Now let's see. I think you might like Burning Man. The desert.
I don't know
how I feel about.
You're not much of an experimenter in that realm
Heat,
either.
No, me and Heat don't get along.
Yeah.
The movie. That Lucas didn't know.
Do you remember Val Kilmer was in that movie?
Yeah, he
I
cut
think.
His hair.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I don't remember the cutting hair scene actually.
Well, it never happens. It happens off screen, and then you see his hair cut. But hold on. He shows up in the car to meet his girlfriend at the end of the movie,
and, like,
right?
She tells him that.
And she tells him, cuts off.
Like, no,
you
no,
notice
go.
He didn't have long hair in that scene. He had long hair before then, and he had long hair. So one would assume that in the in-between, when he's on the run from the cops, he cuts his hair.
So he doesn't look like
So he doesn't look like who? He doesn't look like who? Val Kilmer.
And it was him that they were looking for, too?
Yes.
But. And him cutting the hair is the reason why they didn't recognize.
Yes, because the car gets pulled over because they say to check the car anyway, right? Yeah. They call and he says, check the car anyway. And he pulls back and the police say he has a fake identity and they don't recognize him because why?
I guess he cut his hair.
Because he cut his hair, right? So anyway. Oh. Yeah.
See, okay, here's the thing. I'm bad with faces.
Well, are you bad with hair, though?
Just, we're good with faces.
Here's the thing. Actually, if you cut your hair, okay? If you cut your hair, I won't recognize you. at all, actually.
Well, I cut my hair.
Yeah, he cuts
his hair. Yeah, I don't.
When we.
Yeah, cut what hair? Cut my beard off? You're not going to recognize me?
Well, the
me
first
anymore
time you and I, like, saw each other after, like, you know, for, like, 10.
When you took my picture for 10.
I didn't recognize you.
He didn't know who I was. Yeah, he didn't know who I was.
Actually, I didn't.
Interesting.
He goes, and where do you want me to send this? And I go, you can just.
Send it to
like,
me.
Like, text it. Send it to me. And he goes, I what? And I was like, Jacob. And he was like, what?
No, I didn't.
Right.
I didn't realize it until like an hour after you were gone.
What's cool though is that you remember the name.
I can't remember
the name. I'll like see someone. I'm like, I know that person.
That student's big thing.
They were in my class last year. They did this website and they're really into the Cure. Whatever it is, I get to say that, but I'm like, I have no idea what their name is. It's embarrassing.
Interesting. Now do you do the like the name studying thing, like where you take all their names, do the pictures,
printed out,
yeah, and all the pictures and study that way. That's what we had to do for crew at Bellarmine Orientation.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we had to memorize everybody's name.
Yeah, it's tough, and you just got to keep doing it.
Yeah,
because if I don't talk to you for a while, I'll forget your name.
Yeah, for sure.
I still like you.
Yeah,
I'll say hey.
And I hate that that becomes such a stigma. And we've talked about this many episodes ago, but it becomes a stigma of like, do you care?
Right.
And like, are you smart? And it's like, I know a lot about you, but I might not know your name.
Right.
It happens to me with historical documentaries the most, where I'm like, this guy did this thing and it was really cool and he did follow. Who was it? I don't know.
Oh, I remember his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever tried to read in your dream?
Yes.
I thought you were just going to stop.
You tried to read?
I thought you were trying to read. It's really hard.
No, I've not.
In your dream?
No.
Have you, Lucas?
I have, actually. Like, recently, a lot, actually.
So, when I try to read in my dreams, which happens more often than I would guess, but I can't read. Like, the words don't make any sense. I'm trying to read it, and I'm trying to think, like, what does it say? And I was like, the other day when that happened to me, I was like, that was what it was like learning to read as a dyslexic kid. It's that similar thing where I was like, I know this has meaning, and I'm trying to make sense of it, but I can't read it. Like, it's not, I can't pull the information out.
Do you think that you had, like,
I saw clusters of letters.
The understanding of when you were a kid that what you were trying to learn actually did have some meaning to it?
Yeah,
or
because
you were like, this is just dumb, I don't know why they want me to.
No, I knew it was important, but I couldn't do it as fast as everyone else. Everyone else could read so fast. I told you about that. Like, kindergarten, I could read in kindergarten, but I was really slow. I'm still a slow reader.
Yeah, but what we haven't talked about before is, how did you learn to read?
That's a good question. Phonics.
Oh,
because I was, my mom taught me phonics.
Okay.
I think she was dyslexic. And
what are phonics?
So it's like sounding the letters out, which works really good for a lot of
English.
Yeah,
you know, like hooked on phonics, you know, that holding?
Yeah, it works good for a lot of English, not all of it, of course, but you know, for most of it, like, you can fake it, you know, you can read. So, yeah, I learned what each letter sounded like, and then that's how I learned to read. And luckily, our alphabet has enough variation. So, I was trying to learn Hebrew. Mm. Are you learning Hebrew, Bridget?
I got today 86 in a row of Duolingo, mostly working on letters. And then when it came time for the words, screw Duolingo.
Yeah.
So I'm actually literally, I'm definitely Babbel right now because he kept telling me to try that.
I said do Babbel or I'll pay for, what's the other one?
You have to pay for Babbel.
I think so.
So I'd do Monly.
Monly?
Monly for Spanish.
Which one did you do forever for Spanish? Duolingo?
I did Duolingo German for 1,500 something days in a row.
Holy mother.
I currently use Duolingo to learn another
language. So I'm doing Duolingo Italian right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing is just failing. Like, I'm not trying to pass.
Right.
And so it's changing. It's actually changing.
Like, the algorithm is changing for it?
It's like, oh, wait, you can't
spell.
Like,
this guy really doesn't get it.
He can't spell. Yeah. So he doesn't know Val Kilmer's in Heat, you know? So he doesn't change. So
obviously doesn't know what's going on with the world.
But it's interesting because now it's learning that I can't spell, that I can't, you know, do things
the
way
it's expecting most people to. That's the part I wouldn't be able to get through.
Italian's actually pretty easy to spell.
Yeah.
More than any other language.
Is it more phonetic?
Italian is like the easiest for dyslexic people. That's like one of those things.
Well, that's what I want to learn. I would love to learn Italian.
And Italian's great, man.
Yeah.
Italy's awesome.
I've been trying to learn French, Italian, and relearn Spanish a bit more. Because I ended up taking it like 5 years in like high school or something. But then now I've taken it, I haven't done it like at all. But I'm curious, like with Duolingo, we know how it has like where you type it out, where it's like matching and where you can hear it and all that stuff and try and re-say it or whatever. Is there one that works best for you? You said about, you know, typing or whatever, but is there another one that automatically does?
We talked about this in a previous podcast, but Drops. Drops is the most dyslexic-friendly language learning program because it's all about matching.
Oh, okay.
The problem with Drops is you have to memorize the symbol to the word.
Right.
So it'll have a snake next to a measuring tape, and is it big or is it straight or is it, you know, like you have to like... Yeah. It could be a lot of things.
And yeah, you have to be able to make that connection. You're like, well, it could be any of those.
Right. So you have to remember.
Because that's what the dyslexic brain does all day, is it said it could be any of those options.
Right. That's
so
why
I have no idea which
multiple choice questions suck. Because.
I can't fathom.
We've talked about that.
Yeah, I can't fathom having to take another test. like an actual written test. Like, even in my master's program, right? It's not tests, it's projects and stuff. Like, I can imagine someone handing me a sheet of paper. And being like, do this.
Yeah, I know. Hina was taking a test, online test for her public speaking class. It was like 100 questions, all multiple choice kind of stuff. And she's like reading the question to me out loud. And I was like, I can't help you. And then she's like, here are the possible answers. I'm like, I don't really know which one it is.
It could be any of those.
It could be that or it could be this, depending on how you... I was like, you just got to go with your gut.
Honestly, you know, and that's...
That usually works.
What I didn't like about back in like... college is the multiple choice test was like the reward, right? It was like, oh, this is gonna be super easy,
multiple guess.
It's gonna multiple guess, guys, it's gonna be fine, like don't worry about it. Like, that was always the teacher, right? The teacher always said that, like, don't worry, it's multiple guess. And I was like, that's give me a write-in test, let me write a whole paragraph about each answer,
because I could talk
the best I ever did on any test was an environmental science test at Bellarmine, and it was a what did they used to call them for the ACT? The open response.
Okay.
Yeah, open response questions, right? And it was every single question was an open response. And I absolutely annihilated that test.
Yeah.
Like, best grade I've ever gotten probably in my educational career.
Yeah.
I was just right about it.
My master's program was at Clemson. And they have a oral exam at the end.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you had to read all this stuff and all these books, and you're sitting in front of three PhDs, and they're like going to bombard you with questions. But I'm like, dude, if I just don't shut up, they won't be able to ask a question. So I just talked about every single book.
Yeah, because you know all of it. Yeah.
And it ties to this, and it ties to
And you can
to
make
that
all
book,
those connect. Oh,
book.
My God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I got honors. I graduated with honors. And
of course.
I got into the program on academic probation because my GREs, was it GRE? My GRE score was abysmal.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, I was still, like, on, like, the, you know, halfway through when they were like time. I was like, oh crap.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, like I barely made it through high school and then got barely through my first semester of college. And then after that, once I met you and then other people helped me as well and we figured it out, it wasn't a problem at all.
Yeah.
Like, I was never worried about academics after that. But it's insane that is what the barrier that you go through.
That's why I don't know many PhD
and
dyslexic people.
Blows my mind that you got, not in a bad way, but like blows my mind that you got through your PhD.
Yeah, but I told you this before. It's like it was like a game.
Yeah.
I'm like,
can I get to this level?
Yeah, can I level up? This is really hard.
Level up is such a great way to look at
that
life.
Was it. That was it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what I want to do.
When you had your team, you had your, you know, it just makes
it. Christy helping me.
Right. It's crazy that. That's what it takes, though, and that there's the stigma that says if you can't do these, and we've it's the theme of this podcast probably,
right.
But you can't do these certain things easily, therefore,
right?
You're
if you can't
an
take,
idiot or
whatever. I had to take statistics as an undergrad. You know, I had to do a lot of things like public speaking. No
you,
problem.
You
people
got me,
applauded my
yeah.
speeches in public speaking. They were literally
actually, which is insane.
Yeah. And it's like, but statistics, I have to do that too?
You got me out of statistics. You remember that?
Oh.
I had to take stats and society for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was like, let's do one that's not heavily math focused.
Yep.
Let's
and so then that's about. When they put me in liberal arts math, which is...
Is that real?
It's a real... It was
yeah,
real
they
class.
Had to. They had to.
They had that.
I didn't know that.
They're,
yeah,
they're making a lot of changes
So I failed
now
stats and society twice.
Yeah.
I paid for it and failed it twice, and then
you had to prove you couldn't do it twice.
Yeah. Yes, which was in
yes
because I told them from the I don't want to trash Bellarmine at all because I honestly, even without Sean, Bellarmine was very accommodating. Mm-hmm. Like, they were open-minded to what can we do to help.
But you were, like, the first person.
Yeah,
so
I was the first person
to
go through anything
like
that.
No, you can totally pass it.
Well, and it's hard, too, with dyslexia, and this is kind of a... I want to say this the right way. What's hard is when you have this type of learning disability is that you... We can edit this if I say this the wrong way.
Just say it right the first time. That's what I would do.
You outwardly look very intelligent, right? You talk with people and you sound very intelligent.
Yes.
And then you test and they're like, the teachers are like, what the heck is going on?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm some really smart guy.
No.
I'm just saying that a teacher would be like, a teacher would be like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get what's happening.
I got the smart but lazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Over and over and over again.
I'm curious. When you were talking about how, like, teachers, like, outside of yourself, you would seem like you were smart and whatever. Like, but you said the inside of you were, you know, you couldn't do this, whatever. But so, do you think that they thought it was just an act?
Well, I think act is a pretty good word. And I think, I mean, Sean and I have talked about multiple times, like, laziness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that was the only explanation they could come to was laziness, because it was like, well, what the hell else would they be doing?
Right, you're smart enough.
Right, you're
smart
enough.
Trying.
You just don't care. And you don't care.
You don't care. You
you're
don't
not
care.
Smart enough.
Yeah,
you're not trying, and you don't care. And then you start to dive in to people's this is what becomes really challenging too with people with learning disabilities. Teachers, especially at that point in time, would start to dive into students' backgrounds, right? They'd be like, okay, well, what's their family like? What's their blah, blah, blah? They'd be like, well, their family's actually pretty good. So what, like, this person's kind of just a shitty kid. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have a nice family. They have a good environment. Like, much better than X, Y, or Z. Why would they
And their sibling did great in my
class. Yeah, that's exactly. Why would they? And it's all this, like, archaic type of reasoning that's, like, stupid, like, pseudo psychology basically that says because these people were like this and they were brought up in this environment, it must mean X, Y, and Z. So they're just lazy and they don't care about what they're trying to learn.
Right.
Have you ever been asked, so like for me being autistic, I've been like asked like because they have like Rain Man to go off of. They'll ask me like, oh, can you like do you have this special skill? Do you have this special skill? Basically
And you're like, I have no special skills.
No, I can't count.
You can't count magic.
I just got magic. You can't remember a movie a day.
You can't remember the movie the day after you watch it. So.
I've had to tell people, like, no, I cannot count 300 toothpicks off the ground in a split second. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint. But does the same thing happen with dyslexia?
Well, there's no inherent known superpower.
No, just like entrepreneurialism.
I think now, like very recently, you'd say like, oh, why don't you start your own airline or, you know, whatever it might be, right?
Why don't you invent a light bulb?
Yeah, I think that might come there, right?
Why don't you mass produce cars?
Yeah.
And change the way America operates.
Why haven't you changed the way we look at everything when it comes to whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're going to get that for a long time.
Theory of relativity?
Probably
are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to come
to
you, right?
Can you... You'll understand.
Right.
But, like, I think maybe our kids would probably, hopefully, have that stigma. Because at least you have some baseline to work off of. I think with dyslexia, people just say, oh, you read backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to be for a while.
Because that's the only...
And we don't. We don't read backwards at all. Yeah. We just read wrong.
Yeah. Well,
we
have a
right.
really bad language.
We have a bad language and our brain can't process it correctly.
Right. If we were born in Italy, we would have a better shot.
It would be interesting if like we can get someone from like with dyslexia from like another culture and see maybe how it really affects it.
Well, I mean, like in Sweden, I know we probably will one day again volunteer at a high ropes course there, and they would have kids with dyslexia. All the Swedish kids with dyslexia would come, and the Swedish hockey team would come, and it was like But it was like a thing. Like, they do special things for the dyslexic kids so that they can, you know,
do you think
build bonds. And
you could get anybody from any families from Sweden on here?
I don't know. Nobody I know is dyslexic, but we can ask our Swedish friends. I wonder how that's in Germany, too. Like, right. That would be interesting.
Because I'd be curious to see, because we need to get another guest on here relatively soon. Yeah. So I think it'd be fun to have one of your all's many, many international friends.
I would love to see like how the Finns are doing that, because their educational system is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's pretty compelling. They invest a lot in their education. Yeah. So I'm wondering what they do to target and really reach out to dyslexic students.
Well, and I think the smaller the population, the better and more pinpointed your education system can be.
Yeah.
I think.
Germany's is like great, I hear. Yeah. Like in high school I had like one of my teachers was like, when he was a student teacher, he taught in Germany, and when he came back to America, he was outraged with how inferior our education system was.
Oh, yeah. Like, when we had foreign exchange students that would play on our soccer team that were German back in high school, they were like, they just like sat in the back of class because they were like, oh, we already covered this like years ago.
Well, there's a system in Germany. I'm not bashing. It's very different than in America, where they have, like, when you're, I think in sixth grade, you have to choose a track, and if you don't test in, you're not college material. So if you don't test in, you're dyslexic.
Yeah, so we wouldn't have.
We would have been carpenters or plumbers, which is not. That's cool. That's awesome. And what I love about Germany is that they respect their electricians and their carpenters and their plumbers. They have high respect for them, and they're very skilled. Because I've worked with them in Sweden, because they'll come up and volunteer.
Yep.
It's like I will work with any German electrician or plumber with pleasure, and I learn from them. Because they have this really interesting educational track.
That's awesome.
So we would have been probably in those kind of systems.
Yeah.
What's bad about it is that if you're dyslexic at sixth grade and not discovered or whatever, then you would be put in that track, which is okay. But I'm really excited that I was able to get a PhD and become a tenured professor, which is something that would never have happened in Germany. And that's my...
I think it's fascinating to think about how your place on the planet is going to point you in the direction of the person that you are.
Yeah.
Right? Because you, like, we would have been contractors or plumbers.
And I'd be great at it.
And it would have been fine. Yeah. It would have been a great life. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it would have been far different from the life that you live today, and you wouldn't have had that opportunity otherwise.
Right.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode of Dyslexics Untied. New episodes every Saturday wherever you get your podcasts. Also, catch us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.